Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hi, everybody. This is Molly. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us for this exciting conversation today. I had a few technical glitches right as the show was beginning, so sorry for any of that dull air. We have a great topic today. Erica Elmitz from ConsciousParents.org is here to talk with us about conscious parenting, and she has a free workshop that she's going to guide you through. So I'm really excited to bring her on the line here and have her share more of her awesome wisdom. You might recall that Erica was on the show back in February, on February 5th, I believe, and shared with us some really good insights about conscious parenting, and I was excited to have her back on the program to guide you through more information. So stay tuned because you're going to really enjoy this show today. A few quick announcements before we talk with Erica. As always, you can find out the latest information and happenings on ConsciousCoolChic.com. And I want to let you know that you can sign up there for the current marketing courses that I'm offering. These are free marketing courses designed to help you determine your marketing strategy. These are wonderful classes that are connecting with people all over the world and helping them get clear about what they are here to share and how to do that effectively. So sign up on ConsciousCoolChic.com under Author Awesomeness, and you can be in the loop for the next course. And then the other thing I want to tell you is welcome to May, because April was such a big month. Did you feel shifts in your energy, in your life, in your perspective, in your world? That is what April was all about. And we are starting literally a new chapter or even a new book in a new series going forward now. And part of May is going to be about getting more solid in who you are now and what is important for you on your journey now. So I hope that you feel good ultimately about what transpired in April and know that everything is unfolding for your highest and best growth now. Absolutely. So the journey continues, the adventure continues, and I'll be doing another astrology update pretty soon here in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. Now I'm excited to introduce you to our lovely guest today. Erica Elmitz is a speaker, writer, and naturopathic practitioner. She has a BA from Harvard and an MBA from Babson College. She's a regularly featured parenting expert on San Diego News 6 and Fox 5 San Diego, and Erica has also appeared on The Ricky Lake Show. She is trained in clinical nutrition, biofeedback, essential oils, homeopathy, vibrational medicine, kinesiology, flower essences, color therapy, and energy psychology. But most importantly, Erica is passionate about conscious parenting. She is the founder of ConsciousParents.org, and she is passionate about supporting parents on the journey of raising physically, emotionally, and spiritually happy children. And today we are going to move through a wonderful exercise that Erica has designed specifically for this show. So welcome, Erica. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Molly. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad that you have even more information to share with us. And everyone, if you're listening and you're near a computer, you can check out Erica's website, consciousparents.org, as we're speaking. And be sure and connect with Erica on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter. I know those are all places you hang out.
Yeah, just a few. Mm-hmm. You have to narrow it down.
Just a few. That's right. That's right. So today we're really diving into what it means to be a conscious parent. And mm-hmm. I know this is a big topic right now for a lot of parents out there. And I'd love to get people just kind of up to speed on your path, Erica, and how you became interested in the concept of conscious parenting.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's so funny because I'm sure as many of you guys on the line know that are parents, the moment you have a child, it kind of makes you face and learn so much about yourself. Because obviously you reflect back on how things were when you were young and things you remember, things that stuck out in your memory. And you, as you start to just start that journey and have, you know, a little witness to who you are, the children are often such a mirror to us. And it's, for most people, it's the real first time that they're ever confronted with understanding more about who they are as people.
Beautifully said. And in today's show, it's such a big topic, and you were so kind to offer this free workshop for people to guide them through more about their conscious parenting style. And I do want to call out that this information is relevant for anyone who just wants to know themselves better, even if you aren't a parent. I am not a parent, but I find that it's so important that we have this information to spread to parents because it's such an important role to be a mom, to be a dad, to be that parental figure in a child's life. So, Erica, can you just get us started here with this free workshop? You know, we talk a lot about conscious parenting, but we have to look at the unconscious side of it, and particularly the unconscious mind. Why is the unconscious mind so important for us to understand?
Well, it's so funny because this whole piece that I'm going to train today is really what gets me really excited when I'm working with families and coaching families and just in all of the programs I put together, because I feel like this, like I kind of said to you before and what I think you put on your website, what we're going to talk about today is really the number one game changer, I call it. I know for me, when I learned this material, this was the thing that made the biggest difference in my parenting and in my parenting approach, and it really made me feel empowered, to be honest. I think by understanding what we're going to train today about the subconscious mind and how it affects our behavior, and that's why this is so good for people even that are not parents, because this is applicable not only in your parenting, but in your day-to-day life, in your romantic relationships, in your professional relationships. I mean, these things that we're going to train today really apply to all of it. So, this is what, again, gets me so excited. And when I teach my workshop, this is the thing that when parents leave there, they literally go, oh, my gosh, I finally, like, this was huge. So I'm excited to be able to come on and share what those principles are. I mean, these are things that take a long time to train, but we're going to do it as best we can in the short time we have together today.
Excellent. Great. So we have to understand our unconscious mind, of course, but I love that you said that, how this information is a game changer for parents, because it's really about looking at yourself on a different level. So let's get to the juicy part about the game changer. And what is that? What is that one game changer that will help all parents?
Well, what I call the game changer is understanding how your child's brain develops and the development of their consciousness, if you will, because it affects us from two different sides. First off, so many parents will have a situation with their kids, and they'll come to someone like myself or, you know, be talking to their family members, whatever, and say, oh, my child's having this challenge right now. What do I do about it? And my number one step in my parenting program, Cultivating Conscious Children, is, you know, don't worry about the kids right now. We need to focus on you, the parent, and understanding who we are as people, because there's a variety of reasons why we do this. But, you know, I think we've all been in that situation where we're, in, you know, we're going through our day-to-day life and something happens, and whether it's with our kids or with our spouse, all of a sudden we'll start saying exactly what we swore we'd never say to our kids. Or all of a sudden we'll turn into our mother and we'll go, wait, where did that come from? I don't want to be like this. What's happening? And the reason that that happens is because we're going to talk, the game changer is understanding the unconscious mind, how it develops, and then how it affects our parenting, as well as how our parenting will affect the development of our child's unconscious patterns. So I'll say that again because I think I said that pretty quickly. So by understanding the way the brain develops in our childhood will help us understand ourselves better and why we do the things we do, why sometimes we behave in ways we have no idea why we're doing it or that we don't even know we're doing, but other people in our lives can tell us, and then how that affects our ability to be that conscious parent, be present with our children, and also how we can parent them in a way that their subconscious mind and their patterns that they develop will affect them for the rest of their lives. So that's what we're going to cover today.
Wonderful. Okay. This is such great information for many people, and I trust that, you know, if you are listening to this show, if you are drawn to this show, it's because you are really ready to look at yourself in these ways, on these deeper levels, and it's probably a part of you is ready to upgrade or change your relationship with your child in this way so that you can be that more conscious parent in your life. And so because you have so much good information here for us, Erica, should we just dive into more about the unconscious
Absolutely.
Mind?
Yeah, for sure. So what I'm going to do is give a little bit of a science lesson. I don't think I'd even, you know, give it that. But we're going to talk about the unconscious mind and brain development. And then secondly, we're going to talk about how that affects our behavior and our parenting of our children. So the first thing that's important to understand is that there are two parts of the brain we've all heard about. We've got the conscious mind and we've got the subconscious mind. And when we are in a good place, when we are present, when we're calm, when we're relaxed, that's when we're operating from our conscious mind. Our conscious mind is, if somebody was to ask us, so, you know, Molly, what are the things you want out of your life? What are the things that are important to you? You would respond from your conscious mind, which is your ability to kind of reason, to look forward, to look backward. Your thinking mind is your conscious mind. Now, the other piece of the brain is the subconscious. And now the subconscious mind, believe it or not, processes information about 1,000,000 times faster than the conscious mind. So if we're talking like from a computer standpoint, it's like it processes information so quickly that we're not even aware of it. So we've all been in that place where we're driving down the road and we start thinking about something, and all of a sudden, you know, someone will honk or something will happen and we'll immediately brought back to what's happening in the present, and we'll go, oh my gosh, I don't even remember the last 2 minutes of driving. Have you ever had that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always a little bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, and what's happening is the brain is still processing the information and the subconscious. You've driven a lot. You know what you're doing, but your conscious mind is elsewhere. So what happens is the conscious mind is responsible for about 5% of our behavior. So that means 95% of our behaviors, the things that we do, the things that we don't even realize we're doing, are being driven by the subconscious mind 95% of the time. So what does the subconscious mind actually mean? So the way that develops is when we think about our childhood, most of our unconscious patterns, we may have heard the term limiting beliefs or things that we inherit from our family, sort of belief patterns, whether it be, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, or hard work always, you have to work really hard to succeed. You know, whatever these ideas may be, those are all things that we observe in our childhood, literally from in utero. This is when the subconscious mind begins to develop, up through about age 7. And so what does that mean? So, for example, when we, the subconscious mind is kind of like, the easiest way to describe it, it's kind of like a tape recorder. And the so my mentor in this area is a gentleman by the name of Bruce Lipton. He's written a number of books. Most people know him for The Biology of Belief. And he is sort of the pioneer of this movement called epigenetics, which is the science behind how our consciousness affects our DNA and our experience and everything around us. And when the subconscious mind is engaged, you basically have to start thinking of your children from birth through age 6 or 7 as mini tape recorders. And the reason for this is that up and through about age 7, the brain waves of children are in primarily delta and theta brain waves. Now, that is the equivalent of an adult dream state. So that means that, you know, that imaginative dream state that we're in when we're sleeping is what our children exist in all the time up until about age 7. So this is where I always teach parents, you know, children always do what you do, not what you say. So you can, you know, a lot of parents will teach their young children and their toddlers to you know, you don't do this, you know, you don't do this, but then the child does exactly the opposite because they've probably seen you do the opposite. So they're actually watching and they're downloading all this information into their subconscious mind. So this is a really big thing to understand, because that's why you see a lot of times children will be like their parents in a lot of ways. So the whole nature versus nurture conversation is another one. But the subconscious mind is primarily responsible when we're not present, when we're busy, when we're stressed out, when we're tired, you know, when we're pushed to the limit, like our children are coming at us with something and we're just tired and all of a sudden something flies out of our mouth and we're like, whoa. So that's one aspect of it. And there's also a whole other aspect of brain development that's crucial to this, is the whole concept of the primal brain. We've all heard of fight or flight. And when we get under stress and we get into an emotional fight or flight state, our logical brain completely shuts off. So we literally don't have control over our behavior when that happens. So there's kind of two different aspects of understanding the brain to understand how our behavior is impacted by especially those first 7 years of our life.
I love all of this. I think this is fascinating information, and that it's really like connecting dots for people about what is going on and the things that we're not aware of and the signals we're sending out that the kiddos are picking up on.
Yeah, so the example I give all the time, which people can absolutely immediately connect to, is let's say they have a three-year-old, and the three-year-old knows not to climb on the countertop, right? Because we have said to them, you know what, you don't climb on the countertop, whatever, not safe, you're not climbing up there. And we've said this to them a million times. So in our minds as parents and as adults that have rational thinking at this point, we think, okay, we've told them, and they know this, so therefore, we've taught them this information. Yet what ends up happening is the child climbs on the counter. And what do we think as parents in our filter? We think, gosh, they're being defiant. They're purposely not listening. They know not to do this. And then in that moment, if you ask your three-year-old, you know not to climb on the counter, right? And they'd be like, uh-huh, I do know that. Because in that exact moment, because remember, they don't have conscious thought. They're in the dream state. They're actually going to answer you and say, yeah, I know not to do this, because in that moment, they know not to do it. But then they're still going to continue doing that. So they're not they don't remember the way that we think they do. So I know for parents, it's like a huge thing when it kind of, the feedback I've heard is just, oh my gosh, so my we're not putting our adult judgments on our children because they're not coming at it from that place. And so that's one example of how this happens, because people are always like, and then what a lot of parents do is they end up saying, you know, I'm going to punish this child simply because they know not to do it and they're continuing to do it. So I'm going to go give them a timeout or whatever they choose to do. But meanwhile, the child is not acting from a place of conscious thought at that point. So imagine if we all understood this about our kids, how it would make a difference in our parenting.
huge. That insight right there has so much value to it because it really changes the perspective on the actions and behaviors that they are animating in their world.
Yeah, and let's pull this into, you know, an adult relationship example. So, you know, our significant other, our spouse, you know, we've all had that conversation where you're sitting there talking and your spouse says to you, okay, you know, you just did this. And you're thinking to yourself, I didn't do that. And they're like, yeah, you did. I just saw you do that. And maybe it was, you know, move the coffee over to the corner where it's not supposed to be or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And the person, because your spouse is observing you and your behavior, but it's in your unconscious pattern. Your conscious mind isn't even aware of your unconscious behavior. You literally, if someone says, I saw you do this, you'd be like, no way, you're lying to me. So I know we've all had that
right.
conversation. So, like understanding this, it's like, oh, well, and in a conscious relationship, it's like, oh, thank you for pointing that out to me. I have no, you know, I didn't realize I did it. And so it almost allows us to have a little more compassion for each other, whether it is in a parenting relationship or in a marriage or something like that. So it's really one of these things where it's like, okay, you know, nobody's all against me here.
Yes, and so you can be more open and willing to embrace even the fact that, okay, they're just showing me something that I'm ready to hear right now and that I need to know that I wasn't aware of because it was in my unconscious self.
Yes, and our children do it for us as well. I mean, we've all heard, and I believe wholeheartedly, I talk about this all the time, children are our mirrors. So if our child is acting off and they're acting out or they're being extra whiny or upset that day, the first thing I always suggest to parents is, how are you feeling today? Because typically they're going to mirror back what the parent is going through. So rather than worrying about fixing the child, if the parent recognizes that in themselves, all of a sudden their child's behavior changes. And until you've seen it, you won't believe me when I say that. But the families I've worked with have seen this time and time again where I'm like, when you're feeling that your child's acting like this, you need to do this for you. And then all of a sudden, the behavior goes away. It's kind of fascinating because, again, we're all it's also energetically connected. I mean, our children, especially when they're young, they're energetic beings. And because their conscious mind hasn't developed yet, you know, they feel things on an energetic level and they can't understand it, but they feel it. And so in their heart, they can just sense what's going on. So we have to understand that as well. So just think of your children as a little tape recorder, especially up through age 7, and realize that they're going to watch everything you do and not what you say. They might parrot what you say. They might actually repeat what you say. And if we were doing this where I had my slides, I have this great slide where I show pictures of children imitating adults. And it's all these cute things like, oh, the kid's talking on the phone, the mom's talking on the phone, the dad's pushing the lawnmower, the little child's pushing the lawnmower. And, you know, the little child holding a baby doll the way a mom would cradle an infant. It's so sweet. But then I have another slide, which is exactly the opposite. So a dad yelling and the kid yelling, or the dad giving the middle finger and the kid giving the middle finger. So it goes both ways. It's for our good things that we want to perpetuate in our children, but also the things that we don't. So we really need to just pay attention to what we're doing. That's the number one thing.
And I think that's what makes conscious parents such a relevant theme right now. I feel like there are parents that are hungry for this type of information because they are mm-hmm. conscious and growing in their own consciousness in their spiritual life or in their personal world, and now they really want to apply it to their roles as parents and to be very responsible with it and very mindful of what they're doing and how they're interacting with kids.
Yeah, and I think one of the long-term repercussions, and there's another aspect of the brain that I'll talk about in a minute, but one of the long-term repercussions is something as simple as, and I know parents go through this struggle, is let's say you're really upset about something, and something's just getting you down, and you go to pick your child up at school, and the child's like, how are you? Are you okay, mommy? And then most parents are like, I don't want to bother my child. I don't want to burden them with anything going on. I want them to feel like everything's fine, so I'm going to pretend everything's fine. So, but what's happening right there is when you do that is the child senses something's off, say, no, everything's fine. They're going to sense a disconnect, and they're actually going to feel more unsafe because they're going to feel right. that that's not authentic. and they're going to hear the words from the parent, oh, everything's fine, and then they're going to, what are they going to take away from that? So when, so they're, like, their whole inner guidance system is going to be thrown off because, so what I always advise parents is, listen, if you're having a bad day, when your child feels it, be authentic and open and true about where you're at. You don't have to tell them the details of why you're upset, but you need to just say, you know what, I'm not having the best day today. I just need a hug or whatever, and that's okay. And they're going to, you'd be amazed how more comforting that is to a child than to have us try to pretend everything's all right when it's not. Because, again, we're trying to raise our children to be that way. So for us, as long as we're authentic, our kids are going to learn naturally through this tape recording mechanism in our brain, the unconscious mind, they're going to learn to be that way in their life naturally. So,
great.
Another piece.
That's so great.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's a really good one.
I just think it's great information. It's fascinating.
Well, I know it's, for me, it's one of these, I see people struggle with, you know, because as you know from our previous conversation, I so believe that, you know, our children and us are, you know, we're spiritual partners through this journey together. We're here to learn from each other. We're here to co-create. We're here to support each other, be the best who we can be. It's not a hierarchical, I'm the adult, I'm going to teach you everything, and you're just going to do whatever I do or whatever I say or whatever I want you to do. That's not what it's about. It's really a co-creative process. And just knowing that and realizing the long-term repercussions of what we teach them just through our own behavior. You know, do we always talk about, oh, it doesn't matter what you look like, but then does our child observe us looking in the mirror saying, do I look fat today? Or, oh, I don't like the way this looks on me today. So we can say the right things in our words, but our actions mean the most. Because the other thing that's really key about the brain, and this is like that number one tool that I think, because this is a lot of information, obviously. You know, I think if no one's heard this type of thing before, I'm sure they could be in a little bit of overwhelm at the moment, simply because it's a really big principle. But if we could kind of simplify it, and the simplest way to start applying this, and the tool that I want to talk about for parents, is to understand this one concept, is when our children are growing up and their brain will process whatever they're experiencing, whether it's something that's directly happening to them or it's happening in their environment. So maybe they're observing this happening around them, but it's not happening directly to them. So either way, the child's brain will sort that piece of information, it will sort that piece of information into, is the world, am I safe or am I unsafe? And that's it. That's as simple as it can be. So what happens if we observe something happening and it's scary to us, it could be something on television that the child happens to see because they're walking by and they see something scary. It doesn't, like I said, doesn't have to necessarily be happening to them. Their brain is going to say safe or unsafe. If it's perceived as safe, the child has more energetic resources and energy and attention and consciousness focused on growth. So children that are grow up in really nurturing homes and environments where they're allowed to just express who they are and be parented from a standpoint where the child overwhelmingly feels safe versus unsafe, their immune systems are better, their brains are more, you're basically wiring your child's brain to look at the world as a good place, as an open place, so they're able to be more of who they really are. Yet if you think of a child that grows up in a situation where maybe it's, you know, they live in a part of the world where there's war and they don't know where the next meal is coming from, they're in what they call the constrictive mode, so they don't feel safe. So what they do is they tend to shut down. I mean, if you think about it, their body is trying to, like, preserve life, and they don't have room and resources to grow and play and be happy. They're literally in a survival mode. And that has an impact in the development of the prefrontal cortex in the brain, and also so the primal brain versus the conscious brain. So it has a huge impact in their future behavior and the way they approach the world. I mean, we've all met people that will go around the world and everything's a problem, right? Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a beautiful day out. Oh, well, yeah, but my car broke down today. Okay. Well, sorry to hear that. But, like, whatever it is, it's just always bad. And they're kind of – and nobody really wants to be around those people. But that's their unconscious programming that has happened. They observed it, they watched it, and that's what they learned, and they don't even know they're doing it. So the key tool that I was saying for parents is, no matter what parenting situation you're facing, something's happening. Maybe your child's being they're talking back at you, which you, of course no one ever which of course no one ever wants. Sorry, the dryer just went off. That's what that buzz was. Let's say that they're what was I saying? I just lost my train of thought. Can you refresh my memory?
You're a modern woman, a modern mom, and sometimes the dryer goes off. And
you
were talking about how everything you're doing, your child is watching and taking that in, and affecting probably whether they feel safe or if they're in a survival mode.
Yes. So what ends up happening is, so the tool for parents is, when you're faced with a parenting dilemma, is just to ask yourself the question of this. And I heard a woman named Dr. Marcy Axness, who trains a lot of this same, similar information, and she said it so brilliantly, so I'm sharing it here with you, which is, you ask yourself the question, is how I'm about to handle this situation going to improve my relationship with my child, or is it going to detract from my bond and my attachment with my child? Because, again, that's underneath, am I safe or am I unsafe? It's how I'm about to handle this.
Right.
Does it make them feel safe or unsafe? So if my child's talking right. back at me, if I go banish them to the room by themselves when they're in a state of upset, is that going to make them feel safe and bonded with me, or is it going to make them unsafe? And I know that
right.
probably triggers a lot of parents, and that's confusing, and it's like, well, how do you handle it then when that happens? And that's a whole other conversation, but I'm just trying to bring up the concept right now as a tool, because if you prioritize your relationship with your child over the behavior, it makes a massive difference in the way that they are in the world.
That statement, to prioritize the relationship over their behavior. I mean, we could apply that statement to any relationship in our life, any valuable relationship that we want to nurture and grow.
In a heartbeat, right? I mean, it's such an incredible, because you can always deal with the behavior later. You know, when your child's in an upset, or when you're in disagreement with your spouse, or anybody for that matter, when you're in that state where the primal brain is taking over, you can't resolve it right then. And all it's going to do is disconnect you further. I had a client once who had a child who was talking back, and the more that they stood up against the child, like, you can't talk to me like that, it would just escalate and escalate. And so one of the strategies and tips I always teach families is, right when your child is completely in that space of they're yelling and they're upset and they're behaving in ways we certainly don't want them to behave, but of course we're adults, we have meltdowns too, so how do we expect our kids not to? It's kind of funny. It's like, no, we don't always act perfectly either. So why do we expect our kids? But right in that moment, and so a lot of parents will say, you know what, when they're acting crazy like that, I just need some space. They need to go to their room, calm down. It doesn't mean they're banishing them, but like, go to your room, calm down, and then we'll talk about it. But what is that message really saying to the child? In your worst moment, when you most need a connection, I'm going to separate you, and you're not worthy of my love and attention right now until you calm yourself down, which is the definition of conditional love. And all parents want to talk about is unconditional love, and we all want that for our kids, and we say we do it, but how do we really behave? Do we really show them unconditional love? Right in, because you're the only, one of my clients shared with me something her daughter said to her. She was kind of acting off all day, and I think her daughter was about 8 or 9 at the time. And she was kind of being a little, what she called bratty, and she's just not herself that day. She's kind of not behaving that nicely. And her mom just finally said, you know what, you've got to just get a grip on yourself. And the child looked at her mother, and she said, you know what, mommy, if I can't let it all out here, where can I let it out? And the mom was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, the child even said it. Isn't that amazing? I have the chills when I say that story every time I share that story. But it's so powerful, because that's ultimately what we want. And so, of course, our children trigger us. So our unconscious, this is how it gets into our parenting. Our we all of a sudden start being reactive and our primal brain takes over, and then there's just a whole bunch of disconnect happening. So hopefully that's a good tool for parents, is to remember, always ask yourself the question, is this going to help my relationship with my child or hurt them, hurt the relationship?
That is a great tool, Erica, because it just takes that pause, just hitting the pause button before acting, before speaking, to change a situation, a dynamic. Even if you're in the car, you know, driving somewhere on a road trip, or you're going to school, or you're picking someone up from daycare, it's like no matter where you are in the world, if you can just pause and consider that. And that takes time, too, to train yourself to do that.
Yeah, so first of all, this is an ongoing process. It's not a concept that you learn once and then all of a sudden you're good for the rest of your life. You know, you can check that off the list. It's not like that at all. You know, this is something that constantly I'm working on. And we like, and I think the key for parents is to, first of all, be kind and gentle with ourselves and understand ourselves and realize this is part of how we behave. And when we, the best thing we can do is recognize it, stop it in the moment, and then shift it. And there are things you can do to shift your unconscious pattern. So, like, for example, and this is a key point, too, that I remember Bruce Lipton talking about, which I think is such a good way to explain it, is, you know, well-intentioned parents will often do things and say things to their children in an effort to help them. So, like, you know, they're kind and nurturing and loving, and all of a sudden they're, maybe their kid's playing soccer and the parents or the coach is trying to coach the child to play something, you know, hey, you didn't do this right, here's how you can improve it, here's how to shoot that, you know, here's how to kick the ball better so it goes in the goal more often, whatever it is. So remember, if the children are under age 7, the child isn't going to have the conscious thought to be able to understand, wow, this person is telling me this for my own good or to help me get better. All the child is going to hear in that moment is, you're not good enough, you're not doing it right, you're not, you know. And so those are the unconscious patterns that the child up through age 7 is going to learn. So well-intentioned parents that are like, oh, you need to, you didn't do this right, or you didn't clean your room well enough, they're not going to understand the words. They're going to just hear that underlying message. And Bruce talks about specifically where they'll do some muscle testing of their audiences when he gives talks. And he said that when they go around the room, over 80% of the people will not test a strong response, which means they don't agree with this statement. And the statement is, I love myself. So the majority of our programming is negative, unfortunately. But, like, if you think about that, over 80% of people will not test strong, meaning they genuinely believe it, that they love themselves. I mean, that's huge.
It's huge. It's so powerful. And just to call that out, I think, is essential to for us to hear that, just to know, you're right, I don't have those thoughts enough. I don't have that strong programming going on a daily.
And that's exactly the right word you just used, programming. Because if you were to ask all those 80% of the people in every audience, do you love yourself? They'd be like, of course I love myself. But unconsciously, they don't. And think about it, when, you know, over 80% of people don't even, like, say that genuinely love themselves in that way. And then about, psychologists say about 70% of our programming is negative. So 30% positive. Remember, we talked about some of the good, some of the bad. According to psychologists, they say about 70% of our unconscious beliefs are negative. So imagine, think about the math of that. I mean, it's huge. So imagine two people coming together, most of their belief selves are not good, and most of their unconscious patterns are negative. I mean, that's kind of a recipe for a lot of challenges that everybody faces in their relationships, again, whether it be a marriage or whether it be a parenting relationship. So this is why understanding this piece of the brain and our patterns and how we learn these things really can just allow us to be gentler with ourselves, gentler with the people in our lives. And can you imagine, you know, two people in that understand this about themselves and each other, what you can spend your, that's where you can engage your conscious mind in creating a better relationship. And what ends up happening is as you start to work on these unconscious patterns, then you start replacing the 30-70 ratio with more of your unconscious patterns being positive. So then even when you're being unconscious and you're tired, more of your behavior and all that is going to be positive and your beliefs and all that stuff. So there are ways to change it. And anyway, so for me, I know this has been part of a long journey for me of my learning and personal growth and all that. And it's just been such a big difference. For me and the families I work with.
And I want to let everyone know that Erica does offer consultations. If anything she's saying is bringing up some things you'd like to explore even more, you can check out conscious.org and look under her parenting programs there, and there's consultations. So you could do a 30-minute consultation and a monthly or a 3-month package. So just to let you know that Erica offers this type of support if you have more questions or things that have come up, because we're talking about some really fascinating topics that can take us down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Exactly. Well, I think that's where ultimately, I do those over the phone, by the way, just as an FYI, you don't have to be located in California where I am. And I find oftentimes that over the phone, people are a little bit more open and a little bit more, their walls are down a little bit. So it's actually a really good way to talk about things going on. And I do work with both of the parents together because there's, obviously a dynamic that happens, and I kind of can help mirror that. But it is something that that I think it's – anyway, so the – I do those. But the So did you have any questions of what I said? Because I know, like I said, Molly, I threw a lot out there at you, and I'm sure if you have questions, other people listening may as well. And I easily could have breezed over something. Is there anything you're more curious about?
Well, I just want to make sure that, that people really understand the one game changer, that even to go over that just so that they can really let that sink in, so that because and how that one key game changer will help with their parenting, because now that we've gotten through all this information, I feel like it's even more relevant to talk about that.
Yeah, so the one game changer is exactly what we've been sharing all along, which is understanding that the subconscious mind directs 95% of our behavior as parents. And the tool around that game changer is to ask yourself that one question. Is what I'm about to do in my parenting going to improve my relationship with my child, or is it going to detract from it? So the game
perfect.
Shows us
is summed up.
Yeah, yep. I think that's the simplest way to put it. And that when our children are growing up, the unconscious mind, they're in our dream state up until age 7. So remember that they're living in the moment, in the present, in this imaginative, dreamy state. And they're not genuinely trying to defy you or not listen or do something. They're impulsive. They're responding to their natural impulses. So.
And I think another way to look at it is to think about yourself when you were a child, if you can remember your first 7 years, and if there were any formative experiences or events that happened in your life and what you recall and what your experience was, and then apply that to your child's experience, assuming they're under 7 as well.
Yeah, there's a process called, I'm blanking on the name of it right now, EMDR. Is a great tool that some therapists are trained in, which basically retrains the brain to get into the subconscious mind. And there's lots of tools out there. I mean, so I'm trained in EFT, which is the Emotional Freedom Technique, which is the tapping that many of you may have heard of. That is a great tool to use to start shifting these unconscious beliefs and unconscious patterns. There's EMDR, which therapists will literally, it's like they kind of have a pointer and they have your eye track when you're recalling a certain memory from when you were little, it'll retrain and kind of reframe that belief in your brain. So they're actually rewiring your brain. And there's so many tools that do this, so it's not just one modality that can help with this. But it is, it's really, really powerful to just, because I'm sure we can all think back to this one experience that happened to us when we were really little that for whatever reason it's burned in our brain. And when we think about it, we'll realize, wow, what lessons have I learned? A lot of people have limiting beliefs and concerns about they don't deserve to be happy. Money doesn't grow on trees, so people struggle a lot with abundance issues. And that's, again, because of what children have observed. So this applies across so many things. But it is, for conscious parents to just get on that journey and start learning about themselves. Remember, because our children are doing what we're doing, if our children see us being conscious about our own behavior, what do you think that's going to teach them? You know, like there's times where I'll be behaving a certain way, and I literally will say to my daughter, "Gosh, I don't like the way I was just behaving. What am I doing? I'm going to change my attitude right now, and I'm just going to move forward." And so, what did she see? She sees me not being in a good place and making a choice and doing it for myself. And so, again, these are all different ways that this all plays out. And let me say this one thing too. Oh, go ahead.
No, please do.
I think one of the things I want to make sure I'm very clear about is the fact that so many times when parents hear this information, all of a sudden what happens? The parent guilt comes out. Oh, my gosh, I totally messed up my kids. Because they're older than 7. What did I do? Now I wish I had known this earlier. And I don't want people to have that as a takeaway. This is actually intended as an empowering conversation to have and empowering information to learn, because no matter what age your child is or whatever, you can still teach them these things and unwind some of these things that happen. So I think it's an easy place for parents to slip into is like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? So anyway, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because it is something that, that it's easy to slip into is, oh, gosh, what did I do?
Right. Yes. And that doesn't serve anyone in the long term or in the immediate, because it is what it is at this point in terms of how old your child is.
Yes. Yeah.
And so for everyone listening, again, we're speaking with Erica Elmitz from consciousparents.org. That is Erica's website. If you want to check out more about her expertise and her knowledge, she's been on various platforms lately talking about different topics related to Facebook and bullying and all kinds of great information. And Erica has a wonderful parenting program out there that she composed and offered for a long time. But you actually put together something quite special for us today, Erica. And so can you share with us what that is? Because I think people are really curious about going deeper with this information.
Yeah, I'd love to, Molly, and I'm so excited to be able to bring this to you guys in this forum because, I have a parenting program I've created, which is called Cultivating Conscious Children, and it's a whole big program that includes, 5 CDs and downloadable PDFs and webinars and all that stuff as part of it. But when we were going to be having this conversation here today, obviously talking about the unconscious mind and how it affects us, I'm sure everybody is asking, okay, how do I change it? What can I do to change it? And so what I did is I extracted a piece of that larger program and I made it as a standalone. And this particular part of the program is all, there's 6 strategies that I teach for what I call connect to you, meaning how do you connect to who you really are? How do you get into your present conscious mind? How do you start recognizing when you're in your unconscious patterns? Like, how do you actually really connect to who you authentically are as a person? So I have 6 strategies that I teach in that part of the program, along with a number of exercises that you can do in the moment, like actually things you can do to start shifting some of those beliefs. I did mention some of them today that actually are not on the program, so like the EFT and EMDR, those kinds of tools to help do that kind of stuff. But, so I put it all together and extracted it out, and you can just download it and listen in your car. That's when a lot of my parents listen to my programs is when they're driving in the car from activity to activity. Because, face it, sitting in front of your computer listening to something doesn't often work. So if you can download it, make it easy to listen to, So that's what I've done. I've put it, it's about 75 minutes of training and information and how-tos that really are going to help you start to become a lot more present and connected and start to be able to shift those unconscious patterns.
That is amazing. What a great tool and resource and something to just help right now, to just have these strategies that you know right away. And so let's see, you can download it off of your website, consciousparents.org. And it's, if you're interested, you can find the link here on the Blog Talk Radio show description, or you can just go to consciousparents.org/products/products. And this, okay, I'm like so surprised at the price, Erica. It's like a stunning deal. $27? It seems like it should have more zeros or something. That is so generous of you. Wow. $27. Okay, that's a complete no-brainer. If you need any type of parenting support from Erica Elmetz, who went to Harvard, I can't believe, that's wonderful. That's so generous of you. And I mean, it just demonstrates that you are really sincere about helping parents. It's like you're not in it for, you know, anything else other than to really assist people and to make sure that they're making the most of their relationships with their children.
Yeah, you know, I think I appreciate that, Molly, because I, the parenting program I have, I mean, it's 4.5 hours. It's long. It's got, a, you know, and it's full of so much information, and plenty of people have purchased it, the whole thing. It's $300 for that program, and it, even at that price, it's compared to what parents pay when they work with me individually. It's a total steal even at $300. But what I really wanted to do is I find that, like, especially parents are so busy, and all of a sudden thinking that they're going to spend 4.5 hours learning something, it's almost a little overwhelming. So I wanted to make it so easy to at least get started and start engaging with this material, start making the shift in your parenting and in your personal journey. And so for me, I wanted it to be a no-brainer, because I think the feedback I keep hearing from parents that have even purchased the program is, wow, I had no idea that I needed this information, and I don't know what I did with before I had it. And so, like I said, I wanted to make it a no-brainer, really accessible for people. And so, yeah, I'm thrilled to do it for you guys. So,
yeah, and it's good to know, too, that this information is such a quality starting point for even more information. But like you said, and I think you were cutting out a little bit, at least for me. I don't know if that was for anybody else. But you were saying how people don't have 4.5 hours of time, and so this is just 75 minutes, and you can listen in the car, which, I mean, that's perfect, because I think we're in the car more than we would like to be most weekends and most days.
I always say turn your car into a classroom, because it's such a good use of time. And I know for me, oh my gosh, Molly, my phone is blowing up. That's why I keep cutting out. I keep getting all these calls. So I apologize if that keeps interrupting my audio. It's funny, because even at the 4.5 hours of audio, I've had parents who buy the program and then they'll throw it in their car, and over the course of 2 days, they've listened to the whole thing, because it's almost like they just keep wanting to go. And so, like I said, it's a great opportunity just to immerse yourself in some of the information and the exercise. And I always keep my car as a classroom. I hardly ever listen to music in the car, because I'm always learning and trying to expand and grow and all that. So I know a lot of people out there do the same thing.
That's a great way to think of your car. Your car is your classroom. Yeah,
pretty
great.
Cool. That makes traffic feel a lot less stressful, because you're like, well, I'm at least getting something done while I'm doing this.
Yes.
At least it does for
me. Yes, be productive anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Erica, you've shared so much good information with us in this workshop about how the unconscious mind and the subconscious mind all interact, and all the ways that we can make sure we're in control of our thoughts, of our actions at all times, especially when kiddos are around and kiddos are watching. We just have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you would like to share or mention for parents who want to perhaps work with you more, or who just want to connect with your work?
I'd say probably the easiest thing is if you guys would follow me on Google+. There's a way you can find me on Google+. My name is Erica Elmas, just like it is on Molly's website. That's probably where I'm going to be posting most of my content and new things and videos and stuff like that. It's going to be on my website, but I'll be mostly promoting it through Google+. I'm still a little, you know, doing some stuff on Facebook. So they can always link to me on Facebook as well. But Facebook, you know, they keep changing their feeds, so a lot of people don't see stuff there, unfortunately, from businesses they want to keep in touch with. So, but find me there. They can come to my website, opt into my mailing list. I cover so many different topics because I talk about physical, emotional, and spiritual health for families because I've trained in holistic healing and naturopathic modalities. And so I know last time I was on with you, Molly, we talked about flower essences as a great tool to help shift emotional challenges that we're facing and our children are facing. I also just launched a video series on using essential oils, therapeutic grade pure oils for your family for health and stress relief and all that stuff. So I've posted a number of them up. There's still more that I shot that have not gone on the website yet, but that's a really good tool there. And then, yeah, so just come find me on my webpage, opt into my mailing list. That's another way to just keep in. And I'm in the process of changing my website right now, so you might not get some stuff from me for a while until all that's up and running, but it is a good way to make sure you are going to get stuff from me. So, and yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Good information.
I'm so appreciative, Molly, for having me on here to talk about this because it is something that I know when I've taught these before, it just opens people's eyes to a whole new world. And really makes a big difference in their personal lives as well as their parenting and their children's lives. So I'm so grateful that you invited me to come on and share this. And as you can tell, I get pretty excited about it because to me it's just so fascinating and it's so clear once you start to really understand it.
Yeah, and you're so good about meeting parents where they are. You know, it's a very practical, realistic, relatable information that you share that just helps parents, you know, adults, everyone know, okay, I can do this. I can make these changes. I can improve this relationship. I can understand it, all this information in a very simple, down-to-earth manner. So thank you, Erica, for being here, and thank you for everything you're sharing, and not to mention your smoking deal of $27. That's awesome.
Well, thanks, Molly.
And so that will be... That's on the website again. That's consciousparents.org/products if you want to go check that out, what Erica's offering. And also, I'm glad you mentioned the essential oils and that free video series because I think that is excellent. And even if you're not a parent, you will benefit from that information. I think there's a lot of good wisdom you share. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, they're so much fun. My gosh, it's kind of like, you know, once people start using them in their home and with their family and, you know, getting rid of colds and flu before they start or being relaxing, helping with sleep, helping with weight loss. I mean, oils are such a concentrated, pure way to build our body. And actually, we could have a really fun discussion about the whole vibrational aspect of essential oils and how they raise our vibration of our body and how health is determined a lot by vibrational measured in hertz. So there's oils are high vibration tools that you can use for health and emotional well-being, and they're fun and they smell good. And I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't like to open up a bottle of something yummy that smells like wild orange and just inhale it. I mean, it improves. It's so fun. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, definitely check it out because there's a lot of information there, and it can really help with a lot of things.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, we're just about out of time. Thank you, everyone, for joining Erica and I for this workshop. I hope you found some wonderful insights that you can start using now for your kids and even every relationship that you're engaged in. Thank you, Erica, for being here. It was such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, Molly. I'm so grateful to have this time with you, as always. And thanks for all the great work that you do for everybody with your amazing work and helping spread the word about these important ideas.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Join me next week for another topic. I'm going to share with you insights about conscious giving. We're going to look at how it's incredibly important right now to be giving and sharing your energy more than ever, especially with certain nonprofit and charitable organizations. So join me for that show. Until then, I wish you the very best on your journey. And we're going to end the program with a fun little song. Take care. Bye-bye.